we pray directly for their souls that they'll get saved. You know, we have to be friends with unsaved people. That's how we build relationships and lead them to the Lord. That's how it works in Scotland. You know, me knocking on doors, I've only led one person to the Lord in 26 years. I do that so that people can't say, nobody's ever told me. But I've been far more successful building bridges with people through working on my car, playing snooker, and playing soccer. I ripped my calf last time I played soccer in a football program. I'm older now, I'm going to be 58. So now I'm looking for other avenues that I can use to build bridges with unsaved people. But that's what we're doing in Scotland. And I love my life. I love my life. I love being in Scotland. I love Scotland. You know, it has its governmental moral problems, just like the United States. Okay? But I love it. You know, God's called me there. I love it. And I'm praising the Lord that already the amount of people that were prescribed is full. So now we're in a dilemma. So we'll see about how much more housing I can secure. But you pray. You pray on your end, and we'll do our best on our end because we could use the help. And just you guys getting off the plane, you won't understand half of what the people in our church say. You won't, because they have a Scottish brogue. Part of them have a Glaswegian accent. Some of them have a Fife accent. You won't understand till you get there, but you'll only understand half of what they say. But they're born-again Christians, and it'll be a shot in their arm just seeing you walk into our building. Okay? We rent a building. We don't own a building. Okay? But it'll be a shot in the arm of our people, and we prayed for you guys to say yes. Okay? Now we got yes. So God's going to have to work everything out, and he will. Okay? I'm going to show a presentation now that was from 2011. The guy that normally helps me set up a presentation was on furlough, and I'm not too techie. So when I come here next time, I'll show you a more updated. You won't see one picture of a Livingston, okay? But you will see our former ministry in Kirkcaldy. And you'll get to see a bit of Scotland and a bit of our ministry, okay? But right now, if we can get the lights, we'll show that presentation.
Hello, we are the Dillmans, missionaries in Scotland. We are veteran missionaries who have been in Scotland for 21 years. We are sent out by Victory Baptist Church in Reading, Pennsylvania, and our mission board is Baptist World Mission in Decatur, Alabama. We would like to share a video presentation of our ministry for the Lord here in Scotland.
Savior, lead us through the darkness of this world's delusive way. Though the battle rages round us, be our light from day to day.
Hello. Today's Monday. We're in front of a big grocery store called Asda that is owned by Walmart. We're going to go in and help the economy. Okay, I'm taking a panoramic little shot of where we're getting our groceries, because my wife thought that you need to see that. As you can tell, it's Scotland today. It's wet. Sometimes on Monday, I come to St. Andrews. This is the West Sands. This is where Eric Little ran when he was training for the Olympics. And it's also pictured in the movie Chariots of Fire. My wife and I thought we'd do our missions presentation differently this time. So instead of using PowerPoint, we are going to use an action camera that I've put on this bicycle helmet. And I just thought I'd take you around with us as we go about ministry so that you know what ministry here in Scotland is really like. Ready?
I'm getting ready to hop on this bike and ride down the train station. When I get down to the train station, I take my bike onto the train. We're in Kirkcaldy, we're on the east coast of Scotland. Right outside of Kirkcaldy is a little village called Thornton. I'd say it has, 15,000 people in it. I take my bike onto the train. Once we get to Thornton, I get my bike off the train, and then I ride to the areas that I'm putting tracks out through doors. But it's raining today. I'm hoping the rain stops later on, in about a half an hour once I get to Thornton. I've gotten off the train. I'm in a village called Markinch. What we do is we carry a pack, and here's what we're passing out. This is a welcome invitation that we put through doors here in Scotland, in Markinch. And we also use a paddle to put the literature through the door. What we do is we take the literature, fold it in half like that, and we shove it in, holding onto this handle. You might ask me why we do that. We do that because of dogs. If you don't own a gun, you'll find a way to protect your property, won't you? And what they do here is have big dogs. So I'm about ready to pass these out. You're welcome to come with me with the camera and see what we do. June 17th, last Sunday is Father's Day, so this is Brother Mark Landon.
Hello.
A missionary that Chris and I are working as a team with. Sunday was Father's Day, and the ladies got flowers for Mother's Day. What do the men get? Coffee. So we're going to have coffee and something at Costa, and then after that, we're going to be passing out flyers today. Basically, she'll tell you what she does here in Scotland for the Lord. Take it away.
Hi. What I mainly do here in Scotland is basically what any wife would do in her own country. Make meals, do dishes, do laundry, homeschool your boys or girls, and teach Sunday school and sing at church.
What happened in Sunday school recently?
Recently, we had a little girl at the age of 9 who accepted Christ as her Savior back in May, and now she has a desire to get baptized, so praise the Lord for that.
Do you have a ministry of hospitality?
We do.
I'm prompting her.
We do. I make many meals for evangelism and for fellowship with
She's good at it.
Other Christians.
This is what we see every Sunday and every Tuesday when we drive across the bridge. All right, that's about it.
As we conclude, let me share with you some disturbing facts. Did you know that less than 2% of the Scottish population go to any type of evangelical church? Did you know that close to 37% of the Scottish population claim not to believe in God's existence? Did you know that 1 in 10 children born in the UK are born into a Muslim family? Did you know that Muhammad is the number one name for a baby boy born in the United Kingdom? You know, it's not that Scots have rejected the gospel as a nation. It's that Scots have not had a clear presentation of the gospel to accept or to reject. We need missionaries very badly here in Scotland, as well as Northern England. Would you pray over Scotland as a nation? Would you pray for God to send His his servants to preach the gospel in Scotland? In Romans 10, the Bible states, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Thank you for your prayers for the Dillman family.
Okay, I'm about done. You guys are in a food coma. Do you have any questions before we start breaking down?
I guess I noticed on the presentation, you said like 2%, and I think earlier it said 1%.
It's gotten worse. The latest, it's statistics, but the latest statistics claim that teenagers, 60%, believe there's no God. And they're the product of their parents who don't believe in God either. So,
is the Islamic influence kind of fall off too then? Because they would believe in God.
Yeah, in England, Islam would be more predominant, but it's gaining ground in Glasgow and in Edinburgh. They all own their own mosque. And there's at least four or five mosques in Edinburgh alone. They're putting money into the UK, which is scary. In Birmingham, they have areas where the police have to ask permission to pursue a criminal because they're under Sharia law. Crazy, eh? Totally nuts. You know, where's the sovereignty of your nation? That's me speaking as a Hoosier. Any other questions? Go ahead. No, normally I follow up the literature and knock on their door, and I'll say, "Did you get the literature that we put through your door? What did you think of what you read?" But most of the time they throw it away. It's normally only 5% or less that even read it, because there's no God. You know, if you see something with God on it, you throw it away. So, our church right now, if everybody's there and the wind's right, 25. Yeah. That's right. I didn't start that church at all. I just assumed it for the missionary who had the stroke, who had to come back to the States. He was tired of socialized medicine. He got real discouraged and he left. So don't talk to me about socialized medicine either. Yes, do you have a question? I do. In November, I think it's the 12th or the 13th, I meet with four other missionaries and we pray. And we pray for about 4 hours. And we pray for all the needs of the churches in Scotland. I'd say there's about 30 missionaries in Scotland, but Scotland has about 5 million people. So we need a lot more missionaries. Yeah, but that's a very good question. I'm in a fellowship of missionaries. They don't all totally agree with me, but they believe the cardinal doctrines. But we get together and we pray and we encourage each other, because it's so bad in Scotland, you have to have allies. You have to have people praying for you or you'll get discouraged. So we meet together and we pray to God and say, "We're here. You know, just give us strength and help us." And God does. Okay? Any other questions? Yes? My support level is pretty good because I raise support to help me pay for my boys' education and to house and feed them. Now they're married. So, and I have Scottish blood, so I save money. I don't know why I save money. I just save money because of my Scottish blood. So we're doing all right, okay? So as a matter of fact, take our love off and give it to my son. We're all right. Yes. That's hard to answer. If you go to a store and let's say you buy a shampoo, you'll pay a 20% VAT on that, value added tax, 20%. Okay, but our income tax is less So it's almost comparable because you'll pay your state tax, your federal tax, and your local tax, and your trash, but we pay a state tax that includes our water and our trash. So it's about the same. I'm not an economist, but we're doing all right, okay? Yes, I see a hand. Pardon? Oh, till Halloween. I'm a Christian, so we flew out the 13th, and we fly back on Halloween. So I don't worry about stuff like that. I get a cheaper ticket. Anyone else? Yes, another question. I should come where? Oh, no, I'd knock you all down. I used to roller skate when I was younger. Yeah. Do you guys do that thing where you hold hands and then you keep going and the guy at the end just goes real fast? Do you do that? We got in trouble for doing that. Yes?
Are the Scottish people involved in more mysticism in replacement for Christianity, or are they all atheists?
That's another good question. I've met Spiritists who go to a Spiritist church. I've had questions about that from other people. Satan doesn't care what church people go to just so that they don't find Christ, they don't find out the truth. So he is active. The occult has a big presence in Scotland. I was street preaching one day because I had that football program. And I played soccer in college, and I loved it. No good at it, but man, I had fun. But so I used that as an avenue, because I was knocking on doors in Glen Rothes, and nothing was happening. So I started a football ministry with the kids in my neighborhood, and we'd get 10 guys together, and I'd make them pay. And then at halftime, I'd give them my Bible lesson, and two of those guys got saved, started coming to our church. Then their mom started coming and their grandmother, okay? That was the beginning of our little church there in Glen Rothes. But one day I got a knock on my door and a guy said, "Are you Pastor Don?" But he couldn't say pastor. Scott's had a hard time saying pastor. And I said, "I'm Pastor Don." And he goes, "I'm a Christian." He goes, "I was witnessing to a guy at my work and he said, you sound just like Pastor Don." And I said, "Who's Pastor Don?" So it's like reverse evangelism. He knocked on my door. And I said, "Yeah, come on in." I found out he is charismatic. I mean, wild charismatic. And I started a Bible study with him, and he left the charismatic movement, joined our church, and then God went through his family, and his brothers started getting saved, his cousins. He is a traveler, which would be kind of like a Romney gypsy. Wild lifestyle. But they started coming to our church, and our church grew from like 4 to 36 really quick. But he believed some wild stuff, because that was the beginning of the internet, and he would research things, and he'd start believing these wild things that you couldn't prove from the Bible, but he felt like the Lord was calling him to preach. And I go, "I don't know what to do with this guy. I don't want him to preach in our church. He believes wild stuff, but he has this desire to preach." I go, "I know what we'll do. We'll go street preaching." So that's what we did. I said, "Tommy," this guy's name's Tommy, I go, "stick to the gospel. You know, I don't want to hear about Christmas is bad." And he had some wild views, and we'd argue back and forth, and he is real hard-headed. I said, "Just preach the gospel. Give your testimony and say you need to accept Christ as your Savior." So we did that. Totally illogical. You're telling people that they're a bunch of sinners, you know, and he's given his testimony. He hasn't been saved that long. And we had a lady in our church that was a former charismatic. And so we'd get her, and she'd play the accordion, and we'd sing. You know, we'd sing a couple of songs, "Power in the Blood." You know, we'd sing, "Power in the Blood, Power in the Blood." And we'd sing, and then I'd preach until I got hoarse, because I can't use my diaphragm properly to this day. And if I preach too long, I get hoarse. So I'd preach till I lost my voice. And then I'd say, "Tommy, you're up." So Tommy had preached. Well, we started having people getting saved, okay? And because Tommy is telling the truth, I was telling the truth, and we'd pray over the ministry. But it started irritating the Satanist. I'd never met a Satanist in Indiana, okay? They really worship Satan, and he really does give them power, okay? So I'd be handing out tracts. This guy'd never take a tract. He didn't want to look me in the eye, but I'd hear him muttering under his breath like a curse, trying to curse me. But he'd get frustrated because we'd still come back the next week. We'd still be preaching. So one day, I was preaching away, and my voice got hoarse, and other things happened I can't even mention in public. So I got hoarse, and Tommy started preaching, and some people that are kind of like Baptist in Scotland, they're called the Plymouth Brethren. This old couple that I'd met before, they're born again Christians. So if you're a Christian, you're attracted to other Christians, you know, and you just want to, especially if they're preaching the truth, it just attracts you. So we were preaching the truth, and the word had gotten out. Crazy Baptists are preaching on the high street. And so brother and guy was talking to me, and Tommy got quiet. And it was a cold day, like a Wisconsin day, and we were wearing fleeces, you know. But not too much, because if you're preaching, you get hot. But Tommy got quiet, and I heard somebody talking to him, and I turned around, that Satanist was there, and he had lighter fluid, and he was spraying Tommy with it, and he had a cigarette lighter in his other hand. Now, if you're from Indiana, you would handle things differently. You know, handgun would come out, shh, you know? But guns are banned in Scotland. And if I punch him out, I want you to think, what would you do, okay? If I punch him out, you know, it's self-defense, but then I'm in the paper. So I was in a quandary, you know? I'm more of an Old Testament guy, smite him hip and thigh. You know, you'd have to know how I was raised. My side of the tracks was from Kentucky, you know? So you learn to fight. Yeah, anyway. Only by the grace of God, he allowed me to keep my temper and not go after him. And I shouted at him. I said, "What are you doing? Get back," you know? And I didn't command him in the name of Jesus Christ or anything. He didn't light the lighter, because he sprayed me with lighter fluid, but not as much as Tommy. And he just laughed, and he walked away, okay? So Satanists exist, mysticism does exist. I don't know the full extent, because I only meet spiritualists when I'm going door to door. I don't meet them very often. It's more people that don't believe in anything. Nobody's up there, I'm gonna do my own thing, just do the best I can. I'll look after my family, that's all I have to live for. That's the people, the predominant people that I meet that have some type of philosophy, okay? But they do exist, and Satanists do exist there in Scotland. Any other questions? Are you awake? Oh, go ahead.
You know how vacation Bible schools work in the United States. How does that work in Scotland? Is it the same or is it different?
The culture is different. Most parents are dubious about you because you're an American, okay? They don't know you. And so what we're going to have to do is make more and more relationships with kids so that their parents even allow them to come to the vacation Bible school. Pardon? Yeah, we'll pass out flyers. We have 6 kids in our Sunday school. So if all of them invite just one, now we have 12 kids. So you need to pray on your end that God works in Scotland to draw kids unto himself. We want a stronger children's ministry. That's why we wanted Daniel to bring a group over. We're praying in faith. Okay, that's all you can do as a Christian. You make plans that you think God's leading you to do, and then you go for it. You know, that's what we're doing. We're going out on faith. Yes?
Do you have any access to any of the schools as far as any Bible club or
Okay. This is another touchy subject. My friends, I'm more blunt, okay? That's just my personality. I don't like this smoothie stuff. I like what you see is what you get, okay? I have friends that go in to the schools, but they can't mention hell. They can't mention sin. That's like the entirety of my presentation, hell and sin. So I don't bother with that. We've had Bible studies, children's clubs in the past. We tried to target real rough neighborhoods because then the parents are more apt to let their kids come. And how many did we run in Macedonia? 35. Okay. It's a real rough neighborhood, and we had a lady help us with songs and play her accordion. And so it's possible. We'll see what the Lord gives us in Livingston to open that up. But now, right now, I'm really busy. So we'll see how to allocate our time. Okay. Any other questions? You guys are starting to digest your food, and you're halfway awake. We need energy for tearing down. Yes. That's a good question. I don't own a kilt, but I want to tell you something. What was it, 3 weeks ago? A Christian who had been living with a lady for 10 years got saved. This guy got saved, and his wife got saved, and then they were convicted about living together. They split up for a while. It's like, well, I can't live with you anymore. And then God started working on both their hearts, and he attracted them together again. And then he proposed to her, and he asked me to read at his wedding, and everybody else was wearing a kilt. And the Smileys were like an obscure clan. So to trace down what their kilt is, I'd have to pay a lot of money. Do you notice a trend here? And it was real expensive to get tartan from the Smileys. So I borrowed a tartan of the most powerful clan in Scotland. Who can tell me what that is? No, it's not McGregor. Not the Campbells. No, it was the Scottish Rugby Union. It was so weird. So I had a purple kilt that matched the team colors of the Scottish Rugby Union. And that's the only time I've been in a kilt. I have photographic evidence. Okay. If you have any more questions, see me after. You've had two questions. See me after, okay? But let's have a word of prayer, and then we can break down. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Lord, help them to have their eyes open to how blessed they are. They've been blessed by you with both hands. And Father, they have a good pastor. They have a good music program. Lord, people pitch in and help here. Lord, it just works on my heart. And Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for their willingness to go out on faith and come to Scotland on a missions trip. I pray that you'd bless that whole process, Lord. And Lord, today we just want to glorify your name. Pray us in Jesus' name. Amen.